Welcome to Roguecast, the official podcast of Rogues Gallery. We'll talk comics for the week, as well as whatever news is on our pop cultural radar. I'm Randy.
I'm Nick.
This is Dave.
And now, on with the show.
Episode 265 of the Roguecast, recorded August 13th, 2019. Single Chocobo on Grindr.
So, this is going to be one of those weird weeks where we don't have comics.
Because UPS had a flat tire or something?
Yeah, right? We don't know exactly. We just got an email on Monday like, hey, yeah, your book's going to be 24 hours late because of a truck problem. What you going to do about it? We're UPS.
So by the time you have heard this, what we will have had is an exciting Wednesday morning of racing down there to pick it up when UPS opens at 8:30, racing the boxes back, struggling to get them in, counted and pulled for subscribers before 10 o'clock. Yep. So they'll probably get to the store, I'm going to guess, around 9. We'll basically have an hour span to try and do that, which is not enough time.
No, usually we do it, what, from about 9:30 to about 12:30?
Yeah.
So that's about double speed.
Our leisurely version. And, yeah, we'll be probably doing it when people walk in, but we've done this many times before, too.
We just hate it.
So if we look sad when you come in and broken, that's not because we've read House of X or something and didn't like it.
No.
It's because UPS had a flat.
Yeah. Although it's possible that Dave and I read House of X and didn't like it.
That's an amazing
I know. Everybody loves House of X.
I hear it's the new Watchmen.
It is the new Watchmen. Yeah,
if only I wanted the new Watchmen in my X-Men comics. Now that said, it's pretty universally beloved, and you and I are definitely the outliers, Randy. And to be fair, I don't think either of us have really been reading it closely.
No.
So I can't even claim to have done a close reading.
I just like the fact that it's brought people in that I've never seen at the store, and they're coming back because of this book.
Dave and I are like the outcasts. We are the X-Men of not liking House of X. We're the Morlocks of not liking it.
Yeah.
I prefer to be the X-Men. Because I do not want to live in a sewer.
Just speak for yourself.
if you're ever thinking of bringing us cookies or donuts or, treats of any kind, today would be a great day to do it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That'd be neat. Yeah. We would also accept shrimp.
Or shrimp. This day-old big shrimp.
Think big, Nick.
Where are they going to get shrimp at 10
out of the back? Out of the back of their car, I guess.
Yeah, we've had weird vendors come in. People with
Red Lobster doesn't open until meat in the back of their truck. East noon.
They could bring shrimp tacos from Torchy's, which probably opens at 10 or 11.
Right.
So they open at 7.
So bring your.
Or do they? Oh, because they do breakfast.
Bring your day-old shrimp for Dave, and bring Nick and I delicious pastries.
Sure.
All right.
It's going to be one of those days.
It is going to be one of those days. So
unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do the books this week or talk about what comics we recommend and what notables are hitting.
Right.
Just real quick off the top of y'all's heads, is there any notable new releases?
There's stuff, but I can't think of what it is.
Absolute Carnage is the first two miniseries start up. I think Absolute Carnage Scream.
A couple Conan miniseries.
Yeah, a couple new Conan miniseries.
There's the new book from Kieran Gillen and Dan Mora over at Boom.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. That we've had people asking about that called Once in Future.
Yeah.
It's clearly an Arthurian type thing, or at least has some roots in it. Anyway, if there's notable standouts, we will definitely be talking about them the following week, but just because of scheduling, we cannot this week.
Right.
But we have this big backlog of trailers and news to discuss.
We still have news, TV news, movie news, and trailers to talk about. We figured we'd cover that. And also, last week, we lost our Hobbs and Shaw, our The Boys, and our Once Upon a Time in Hollywood discussion. If we get time for it, we might do that. This might also be a shorter podcast. We had a crazy flood of miniatures come in, and we had to do all that, so...
Oh, yeah. If you are a D&D or Pathfinder person or a miniature painter person, we are going to, over the course of this week, what is it, about 50 new miniatures, roughly, in from the amazing WizKids line. They're on, wave 9 or something that. And they're just beautiful. We just stay all the whole 2 hours we've been working on it and unloading it. We're just standing in jaws dropped at how good the quality is.
Yeah, you can
get
yourself a Kenku, Clockwork Dragon, Goblin Alchemist.
There's a half orc barbarian that has a wolf mantle on him, and the sculpts are just so good.
Tabaxi rogues.
Yep. There's
Kraken.
not a beholder, but there's a spectator. Yeah, they're cousins.
Yeah. So and. Yeah, we rearranged the miniature section. It's going to be nice and pretty.
You know what's the coolest, though? That shark that we got?
Yeah.
If you know the I'm a shark, F you, I believe it's more of a suck my meme, it is that shark because he is splashing up out of the water and it looks amazing. And there's a separate little miniature that comes with it of water being pierced by just a fin.
It's pretty cool.
So they have really thought this through.
So, jump over to news. Let's go to the TV stuff. So this is development stuff, so it's early. It's early, early going. But they're developing a Final Fantasy live-action series at Sony. Now, here's what I know about Final Fantasy. There are chocobos, and Dave likes it.
It's, there's also clouds.
Yes, they're well, Cloud Strife, the giant sword warrior. Actually, given all the different versions of them there are in different games that like weirdly mash up their continuity and stuff, you could probably say safely say there's multiple clouds. but anyway,
are they happy little clouds?
Live action? No, he's sullen,
murderous.
They're sullen little clouds. And he's like a little rebel warrior.
Okay.
He's overthrowing the man.
Okay.
What's this being developed for?
Sony's developing it.
Do they have their own streaming thing, or do we know who it's going to run for?
Somewhere. No, I think this was in conjunction with like Netflix or Amazon.
So what we're gonna see, I would imagine, is a bunch of pretty slightly androgynous people with kind of like that feathery hair that is their the style of the Final Fantasy games, kind of elfin looking, amazing special effects, chocobos.
Well, a coherent story.
What is a chocobo?
A chocobo is like a big sort of rideable chicken, like an ostrich-sized chicken.
And what is a cactar?
A cactar is a cactus man.
And what other weird-ass shit is there?
Where to start? Nick, who's the guy who has the knife that kind of stalks around and one-hit kills you? Do you happen to know this one?
I did not play a lot of Final Fantasy.
He, like, moves real slow, but if he cuts you, that is just, like, instant death.
It's not Astaroth, is it?
No, that's, like, a big old demon. This guy is actually, a standard monster you would fight.
Wait, Astaroth is in Soul Calibur.
It's not Astaroth. It's the Sephiroth.
Oh, yeah, no, he's the big bad of Final Fantasy VII.
I get my Roths confused.
Which one is Tim Roth?
That was Final Fantasy VI.
Which one is a Roth IRA?
So, I think this could work. Final Fantasy is... The weird thing is they're known for sort of deep stories, but it's deep on the high melodrama scale of anime and manga. So it will, in its way, be like a live-action anime, I assume, and maybe depending on what kind of version they do, because Final Fantasy can be both like sort of medieval, sometimes it's like sort of steampunkish, and sometimes it's futuristic, but almost always with a medieval element.
Sometimes they're driving around a car, right?
And the most recent one, yeah, that's that.
Sometimes they do space opera, where it was that CG movie, the Final Fantasy Spirits Within.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's space soccer of some kind, I remember.
There was one of them.
Like a 3D, zero gravity soccer thing.
Yeah, a lot of those, they're going to be like based on whatever weird mini game they come up with. But they've kind of already done this with CG versions, none of which have particularly impressed me. They're all pretty to look at and okay story-wise. They'll have to dig a little bit deeper, I think, on this one to draw me out. But I think the idea is pretty sound.
Yeah, follow a single chocobo in the world of Final Fantasy.
Super high concept.
Yes.
No, it's a single chocobo in the world of high finance.
Wait, what if it's about a single chocobo looking for love? Looking for love on an app. He's a single chocobo on Grindr. Well, I lost my train of thought there.
I don't know why.
I was going to say, we had Rampage a few years ago, years ago, that was a really fun, ridiculous movie. But have there been any other? I think The Witcher is the big test of can you kind of have a serious, ongoing video game story? And The Witcher, of course, has the video games, but is derived ultimately from novels, and that's a stronger source material for story than I think a video game is.
We've realized video games does not have a great pedigree when it comes to adapting
or
movies.
Yeah, now Final Fantasy may just bring its audience anyway, and if it does do a manga or anime style, that may be fine. I don't think any of us are big manga or anime people.
Nope.
Yeah, I have a few series.
Dabblers at best.
Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, maybe. Who knows? It'll probably look pretty.
Hitchhiker's Guide is in development at Hulu. This is a great idea for
it. It is.
It's gonna be way better than any version of the movie.
I think it is. I think it will too. I think they'll probably let them go off a little bit on their own with it, which is good because Douglas Adams is of course a genius.
Yeah.
But I think this is a property that even within his own time was adapted in so many different ways. He clearly was okay with different iterations of it.
And also, isn't it at this point like 40, 50 years old? I mean, it's been around for a while.
It's the 70s, I think. So I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it began as a radio play. Then they did the BBC show. Weirdly, right around the same time was the Infocom text adventure game, which a lot of people remember fondly, myself included. Then the novels were somewhere in that early
mix.
And
there was that 2000 movie.
Yep, which I didn't love, but had its moments.
Yeah, it was a great cast.
It seemed like it actually should have been better because of like the people involved.
And I think part of the problem is that you're trying to be able to put a big story into 2 hours, and that's not the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that honestly, working in TV is going to be really good for this.
Did anybody watch Dirk Gently?
Yeah, it was fun.
I did not.
I once saw a scene from it, and the scene was really good, but I don't know anything about the show itself. Was that Douglas Adams?
It was... No, it's...
Am I mixing up my British authors?
It is Douglas Adams, you're right.
Okay.
So I watched about half a season of it and really enjoyed it, but...
It wasn't super compelling.
Lost track of it, and yeah, I just didn't quite...
Okay.
I have a very low tolerance for twee British humor.
Yeah.
Like, I can really enjoy it, but I don't want a lot of it.
Right. I was just wondering, like, how... I mean, I haven't read those books either... and I wondered, like, you know, what changes they made to that one, because I think that was considered a pretty successful incarnation.
Yeah. Do we know anything about who's working on this?
No,
or...
really, no, okay. No news other than they are working on it.
It seems like it could be cool.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I think all of us would say we'd have some fondness for the property.
Yes. And then Rob Guillory has announced they're developing Farmhand for AMC, I'm glad they're developing Farmhand, because that book is weird, and it seems like it'd be a fun TV show.
I feel like AMC is
the
wrong place.
But AMC's a bad fit.
Just real quick, as backdrop for people, Rob Guillory was the artist on the comic Chew.
Yeah.
Chew had a kind of crazy premise, and I think it would inform the artist's later work. Chew was the one with, like, the psychic guy in a future where the bird... I mean, this was just the beginning of the weirdness, but the bird flu has outlawed meat, and so there's, like, a powerful FDA agency that's, like, as powerful as any other... law enforcement agency, and he's also a psychic, and what he bites into, he could see psychically and see its past, and use it as detective work. So Farmhand was the artist who did that, and had a similar weird vibe, right?
It's clear that Rob Guillory was involved in the writing of Chew, because Farmhand feels more like Chew than anything layman.
Farmhand has, like, super weird, like, genetically spliced,
it's
like...
They're growing limbs and organs out of plant.
Yeah. And is it, like, darkly humorous? Yes. I got the vibe that it is not super serious.
Darkly humorous, conspiracy stuff. There's definitely some horror elements to it.
But very larger than life.
Yeah.
Very crazy.
And here's the thing. AMC did Preacher, which some people like.
Yeah.
They're doing Nosferatu, which they've done. So they've done comic adaptations.
Walking Dead, of course.
They've done Walking Dead, of course. All their stuff is kind of flat. And I feel like Farmhand needs that crazy... Like, if Showtime was doing this, I would be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Or if FX was doing it.
AMC makes me a little nervous. But I'm glad for Rob Guillory.
Yeah, I'm very happy for him.
Last bit of TV news. Benioff and Weiss, the guys who either...
Love or hate or tolerate, maybe?
I was going to say, the guys who either brought Game of Thrones to screen in a masterful way or completely ruined Game of Thrones for you.
Yeah.
Have signed a deal with Netflix, probably to start after their Star Wars trilogy.
I believe that's the case, yes.
No details on this, but it's some kind of deal where they're going to make movies and TV for Netflix. Seems like a good deal. They're being courted by a variety of networks.
Yeah. I mean, even if you think that the Game of Thrones just went completely off the rails in the last season or two seasons or whatever...
Dave, what did you think of the final season of Game of Thrones?
No, have seen.
I was making a joke. You're supposed to make something up.
Oh. I didn't have anything. I'm in serious mode. I think you'd be hard-pressed to not say that they put together a really amazing engine of a show, stunning casting, a lot of great writing. Like, it'd be hard to say that there wasn't greatness in there.
But Dave, of course, has not seen the last season, where Benioff and Weiss, in the final episode, pull back the curtain, step onto the King's Landing, and give a puck-ass speech.
Hello, I'm David Benioff.
And I'm Martin Weiss.
The author of these characters' misery.
I think they're both Davids, aren't they?
David
Benioff and D.B. Weiss?
Yes.
Or you can always,
D.B. Benioff and...
You can always trust a Dave.
Can you?
I've heard to them...
Wait.
To screw up Game of Thrones.
They got to you. The Daves got to you.
Actually, are they Davids?
One is a David, the other is a DB.
Neither are formally Daves. They're not in the secret society.
They're not members of the Society of Daves.
We're watching them. Without knowing anything about this, who knows? But that is a pretty quality team. I hope they don't make their stupid Confederacy in Modern Times show.
Me too. Please don't ever make that show. Movie news. This is all sort of weirder stuff. They're doing a Superman Red Son animated movie, which I know people who like the DC animated movies will be excited about. Yep. I am...
A.K.A. Russian Superman.
Yep. I like the graphic novels, despite being not a huge Mark Miller fan.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily need to see it animated, but I haven't liked any of the DC animated.
It has been such a popular graphic novel over the last 10 years or whatever, 15 years, I guess, that it makes complete sense that they would adapt it.
And we'll see a resurgence in people wanting to check it out.
And a resurgence in communism.
Yes.
Well, that's accurate.
And then, speaking of popular things none of us like, The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead has a movie that's been announced. With Rick, I think, coming back for it, which is weird because he left the show. Not in the way he left the comics, feet first, but...
You mean when he parachuted to freedom?
Yes.
Did he not get killed in the show?
I don't think so.
He just went and walked away?
I think he went and walkabout.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen The Walking Dead since like season 3.5.
You know, I haven't seen since season 1, so...
So, if anybody out there has by chance seen this obscure show, please send us an email with a subject line reading, I have seen Walking Dead.
We're getting a lot of emails this week.
God, this movie's going to make a lot of money, and I don't care. You know,
here's the thing, I would potentially see it if it's a good standalone zombie movie. I am still down for a good zombie story.
Okay. I have no interest in that world. Kirkman and...
I wonder... I have to imagine that they will probably try and do the thing where it is both for the fans, but also meant to be something that somebody might go to who maybe hasn't seen the series.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it makes sense.
I'm sure Rick will go and walk about and find the people in the riot gear. That will be the...
He'll go and walk about and find some horrible people who seem at first to be nice, but then turn out to be monsters.
Oh, my gosh.
And the real monster is us. Are us.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We are the Walking Dead. Finally... Ella J. Basco, a young Filipina-Korean actress, is playing Batgirl in Birds of Prey, which means they're doing Cassandra Cain.
Yep.
Which is interesting.
Yep.
In the Birds of Prey movie.
Movie, yes.
This is one that's going to have, like, Harley Quinn and Huntress?
I think Huntress,
I think it's Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey and the Emancipation of whatever the heck.
Oh, right, it has the crazy long title.
Giant title.
But yeah, I was just trying to remember who all was in this. So who are they adding?
They're adding Cassandra Cain.
Cassandra Cain. I really like Cassandra Cain.
Me too.
So it's Black Canary, Huntress,
Batgirl.
Now Cassandra Cain.
So probably not Oracle though, right?
No, there's no Batgirl.
That's weird.
Just Cassandra Cain.
But there is a Batgirl. Cassandra Cain is Batgirl.
But probably won't be.
Who's going to be? Who's going to be the leader of Cain? Who's going to be the leader of the team or whatever?
I assume Harley.
Harley Quinn.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, Huntress is going to follow Harley Quinn?
I don't know.
Well, these are all movie versions that are going to be disconnected from what we know anyway.
And
you
have Renee Montoya, and villain is Black Mask.
Okay, well, who knows? It's such a it's such an X factor. But I am happy to hear about Cassandra Cain.
Yeah.
How old is the actress playing her? Just curiosity.
I don't have it.
Because when she first showed up in the comics, I think she was like basically a teenager.
Yeah.
She almost seemed like not. She was not Damien Young, but I felt like she was could have been like 16 or something like that. Yeah. She might have been supposed to be 17 or 18. Actually, now that I remember, when she showed up in like No Man's Land was where she made her first appearance. Am I right?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. And I think Greg Land or something drew that issue, and she looked like a like he had traced a normal statuesque woman of the type he would trace.
Yeah.
But then later, when she got her own comic, that was when they made her look younger. So that's what imprinted that in my head. But who knows what I guess they'll do for this. But yeah, I liked her when she was kind of the almost mute assassin trained daughter of. I mean, she very much was kind of a proto Damien, but not personality wise. She just was the daughter of a assassin chief, sort of. Anyway, yeah, fingers crossed on that.
All right, we got a bunch of trailers to go through.
Okay.
The Irishman.
This is Martin Scorsese's new one.
Martin Scorsese, original. It's a Netflix original movie.
With CG hitman Robert De Niro.
He's not CG, he's just de-aged.
He's just de-aged.
He's not like a cartoon 9-foot man.
it would have to be, well, as long as it's better than the Tarkin and Princess Leia from Rogue One.
He's not an Avatar creature.
In his head, De Niro is a 12-foot tall.
I did see an article the other day that said something like, Robert De Niro, was it Samuel Jackson? Or no, maybe it was Will Smith from the new movie, Gemini. And it's like Robert De Niro, Will Smith, and the rise of the digital actor.
Yeah.
Now, that is kind of a misnomer in the title because, it's not they're not true digital creations. It's Robert De Niro with his face digitally altered to look younger.
Yep.
Because this is De Niro Pacino?
De Niro Pacino. Pacino
Pesci?
Pacino is playing Jimmy Hoffa.
Is this like 70s era?
This is 70s era crime. It looks fantastic to me, but this is right in my wheelhouse.
I was going
to
say, I watched the trailer. I've forgotten what it was, other than Jimmy Hoffa was involved.
It looked like mob things were happening.
Yeah, well, the Irishman, he's like, there's like four guys who have this ring who are like made men of the mob or whatever, and one of them is Irish, and it's Robert De Niro's character. He's like this Irish badass assassin. He's doing all this stuff for Jimmy Hoffa, and he's like probably going to turn out to be the guy who kills Jimmy Hoffa.
I want to pose a question.
Yep.
Does Martin Scorsese want to be in the mob? Is he in the mob?
He might be in the mob.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure
honorary
he's
mob member.
Honorary mob member.
He's got like a little one of those little police pal badges that says honorary mobster.
Yes.
He shows it to everybody on his films. He's like, have you seen my badge?
Seen mob badge?
It's real. No, I remember seeing the trailer. I thought it looked good. Scorsese is actually kind of hit and miss with me, but his mob stuff tends to always be very watchable. And obviously his highs are very high. Arguably, for you and I, Randy, Goodfellas is as good as you can get.
Goodfellas is one of my favorite movies. This reunites a bunch of the cast. I'm super excited for this, and the trailer looks right up my alley.
I will go on record and say Goodfellas is mediocre.
You can go on the record, but you're wrong. You're wrong on the record.
Let's just remember that you retroactively impugns your judgments on Deadpool.
It's true.
Okay.
No. I think this is probably going to be pretty good. Jimmy Hoffa was a big union.
He's a Teamster. Yeah, he's a union guy.
Yeah, union boss. And honestly, although I grew up with essentially the punchline joke of like, where is his body buried? That was the joke of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Was he went missing and... as Saturday Night Live, Mad Magazine, anything that was kind of satirical at the time, were always making jokes about, finding Jimmy Hoffa's body.
Right.
So I kind of like, for me, that it'd be interesting just to get a little bit of historical perspective, even if it's in the midst of this kind of big high melodrama, just to see exactly what his role is.
Yeah.
And this is straight to Netflix, right?
Straight to Netflix and limited release in theaters.
Yeah, because they want the Oscar.
Yeah.
They're really vying for that.
Well, this one looks really good to me. They've done several movies. This is one of the first that sort of got my attention. The other one that's on my list...
Real quick. Does this put him at odds with, Spielberg or whatever, who doesn't want the Netflix stuff entered into Oscar consideration?
Yeah.
So, it's interesting. We're going to get two old gods of filmdom at war, Spielberg versus Scorsese.
I think Scorsese can take him.
If it comes to a street fight, you better believe it.
Yeah, because Spielberg isn't in the mob.
No. He might...
He does have a giant shark on the side.
He may have special effects. He may be like the Mysterio of battling directors. Like, Scorsese may rip him to shreds, and then he's like, a robot! It's a shark robot! I thought it was Spielberg, but it was a shark.
The other Netflix movie that just popped up as a trailer is Dolomite Is My Name.
Oh, yeah.
With Eddie Murphy playing... What's the guy's name? Ruby Ray...
Right, so I actually didn't know about the backstory of Dolomite.
I didn't either.
Who I knew as like kind of a crazy pimp character from like 70s blaxploitation movies.
Yeah.
But I guess he was the invention of a comedian of the era.
Yeah.
Like he was like his, I don't know if it was his comedic alter ego or what.
Yeah.
But this looks like a sort of like a serious comeback type thing for Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be a mixture of drama and comedy, but like leaning into the drama. And here's the thing that I didn't realize, but a friend pointed out. The two screenwriters for it are two guys with a very strong pedigree. They wrote People vs. Larry Flint.
Oh, nice.
Man on the Moon.
Oh.
There was another one. I'm going to blank on it, but it was...
Scott Alexander and Larry Karasuski.
Yeah, can you quick pull up their stuff? Like, they're big. They have one other one that I really liked.
American Crime Story, People vs. Larry Flint... Ed Wood.
Ed Wood is the one, which I still, to me, is Tim Burton's best overall movie. There may be ones that I like more as a personal favorite, but that's the best written one, the strongest overall one. I think.
So the director on this, Craig Brewer, is the guy who did Hustle and Flow and Black Snake Moan.
Oh, I've been meaning to see Hustle and Flow for a long time now. I really like Black Snake Moan. That's a good pedigree to me.
Yeah, it is. Also directed the pilot of Terriers, my favorite TV show of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So some fairly serious heat going on there for... What's the movie called?
The movie is called Dolomite Is My Name. And it's got a fantastic cast, too. Wesley Snipes is in it, speaking of sort of comebacks.
Yep.
Keegan-Michael Key.
Yep.
Who else did I see in that list of people? There's a lot.
The most important thing is they stopped Eddie Murphy from playing everybody.
Craig Robinson is in there. Titus Burgess from Kimmy Schmidt.
No. Oh,
yeah. Mike Epps. There's a ton of good people in this movie.
Yeah.
The trailer looks great.
This is the one that you posted last night, and I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Yeah. Basically, like, imagine Nick sort of a, not quite a, I mean, a biopic of sorts, which is partially what these screenwriters do.
Yeah, it seems like it.
I was actually, and I found myself watching clips from The People vs. Larry Flint, which I remember is the first movie where I found out about Edward Norton. He plays the guy, the lawyer who argues in the obscenity trial of Larry Flint at the Supreme Court. Paved a lot of way for messed up satirical humor. That seems to be what they do. And this looks like it's going to be a sort of biopic about a...
It's got comedy in it, but it's not comedic.
Right. There was definitely... Even in the ad, there was lots of jokes and things like that, but it did not look like a comedy.
It did look like a ton of fun.
Yes. Hmm. I don't know if you've... Have y'all seen People vs. Larry Flint?
Yes. Love it.
So it is actually a very watchable movie. It kind of has that same vibe of Scorsese at his best and stuff like that, where you're going to see... lots of really juicy scenes with great dialogue and fun kind of skeevy characters.
Was that the first big dramatic outing for Woody Harrelson, too?
I think so. And as I was watching it, he's great in it. Courtney Love is great in it. And Edward Norton was standout.
I want you to imagine
them
doing a People vs. Larry Flint to go back.
Yes.
But Woody Harrelson will be playing his Carnage character.
Not getting in front of Supreme Court to argue this case. It's going to be carnage. We're never going to get past that scene at the end of the Venom movie, y'all.
Nope,
even like, Randy, who hasn't seen the movie per se...
the only part of the Venom movie I've seen multiple
knows
times.
...knows the scene.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy's on a comeback, too, because apparently he's now about to start filming Coming to America, too.
Also Craig Brewer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And may I just say, if I saw this the other day, a snippet that somebody pulled up. I think it's an older interview from Playboy... With Eddie Murphy that talks about his kind of some bad blood between he and John Landis back in the day. And how it like their onset arguments for control of because did Landis do Coming to America?
I think that's right.
There's like literally came to blows at times. Eddie Murphy like slapped him or something like that.
But there's also the controversy that our comedian Art Buchwald claimed that he'd written the whole thing.
Oh, like, that's right.
It's kind of so crazy that they'd be doing a sequel to it.
Yeah, but it's a beloved movie. It's a good movie.
I hope that Arsenio Hall comes back.
I think he would,
right? He's supposed to.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think they all are.
What else is Arsenio doing?
James Earl Jones still alive?
Yeah,
he is.
He did the Lion King thing, yeah. All right. Well, here's hoping.
Now, I want you to cast your mind.
Yeah?
Coming to America 2.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy is playing his character from The Clumps, and James Earl Jones is playing a cartoon lion.
Or he's playing his character from Patriot Games.
Or his character from who is also a cartoon lion.
It's going to be a little tonally odd.
All right. Then there's Jojo Rabbit, which is...
I don't know what this is.
Taika Waititi's...
I have seen this.
Weird anti-fascist thing. It seems to be a like Hitler Youth kid who imagines Hitler as his buddy.
I think it's Hitler Youth Camp.
Yeah, Hitler Youth Camp.
It's not
really Hitler there, right? It's like Hitler's just ghost
buddy. I think it's like his Harvey.
The vibe is, Harvey the Giant Rabbit movie.
Yeah.
For those who don't remember that movie is like 80 years old now.
It's Jimmy Stewart. I want to believe
it is,
that.
It's somewhat famous.
Yes.
It's referenced in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Really?
Yeah,
I remember
he's interrogating people, and they're looking for the rabbit, and there's this drunk who they think is going to sell him out, and he's like, I saw a rabbit. Tell him, Harvey. And it's because the drunk guy, Roger Rabbit, made him laugh, and therefore he did not sell him out to the evil judge.
How old is Roger Rabbit now?
Old.
30, 40 years?
Something
like that.
Roger Rabbit is in a retirement home now. It's the Roger Rabbit retirement home.
Jessica Rabbit's a cougar.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
This looks bonkers, by the way.
Jojo Rabbit?
Yeah,
it does. It's weird because, like, if anyone else was making this, I'd be like, fuck your Nazi shit.
Yeah.
But it's Taika Waititi, and I know it's going to be great.
Yeah, that's the vibe I get. It's almost reminded me of Mel Brooks and, like, Springtime for Hitler in Germany and the producers.
Yep.
That kind of, like, absurdist humor. It did make me a little uneasy in the ad because there's like a kind of happy-go-lucky Hitler joking about like, oh, people think I did some big thing. And I'm like, again, If it wasn't Taika Waititi, I would be very nervous about this.
But it's also, what, like Scarlett Johansson, a bunch of really good people.
I didn't really notice. I just knew it was him.
Sam Rockwell, I believe. Everybody wants to work with Taika Waititi.
I can't say I'm actually necessarily excited for this one, but it's probably going to be very good.
Yeah, that's my vibe is, too. The next one's another indie movie that I did not know about, Little Monsters.
Oh, yeah. It's the horror movie about a high school teacher, or no, grade school teacher.
Yeah, she's got grade school kids.
What's her name? Lupita
Nyong'o.
They're like a field trip
to a petting zoo or something.
When a zombie apocalypse kind of happens, or at least an outbreak.
And like the person who works there is, I believe, Josh Gad.
And so I haven't watched this trailer for like a few weeks, but am I correct? She kind of comedically tries to cover it up from the kids, and
that
she's like,
a zombie apocalypse going
right.
On, yeah.
So there's like, you see a zombie biting somebody to death in the distance, and she'd be like, they're playing a game or something like that.
Yeah, it's like taking the elements of the traditional zombie movie and adding like a kid kind of layer to it.
And I think also adding to like for that teacher thing where it's like, she's doing all these sort of the normal teacher stressing out, but it's over the zombie apocalypse. Yeah. She's like, I'm trying to protect these kids.
It looks like fun. I've seen so many fun zombie movies at this point. I've seen like Anna and the Apocalypse and Shaun of the Dead and
What was that one where there was actually one where the teachers were in the school and had to kill the kid zombies.
Oh,
it wasn't great, but it was fun enough.
Then there was Warm Bodies.
We've started to see the zombie, and so this whole thing, like the critics are sort of promising a zombie movie unlike you've ever seen before, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I've seen a lot of zombie movies at this point, but it does look really good.
There's even The Dead Don't Die for the art house.
Yeah, I feel like I might be... I'm very worn out on zombies, but because it's Lupita Nyong'o, and the trailer is a good trailer.
It's a really good trailer.
I'm definitely going to check it out.
When I was watching it, I don't know her just by sight necessarily, but when I saw that it was her, I was like, oh, that actually sounds fun, because I don't know if I've seen her exercise comedic muscles before?
Not really. I mean, she was kind of comedic in Star Wars, but that was a CG version of her.
Right.
A little bit in Us every once in a while.
But like the primary tone of that is pretty serious and dire. This looked like I liked seeing her having fun. Which is to say, her character is stressing the hell out.
And also her as the lead of the movie as well.
Then there's a trailer for The Lighthouse, which is by the guy who did The Witch.
Yep.
I did not like The Witch. I am not going to like The Lighthouse.
I had mixed feelings on The Witch, which, for those who didn't see, it was this very sort of moody, 17th century, like, I think...
Salem Witch Trials thing,
but it was about a family that was kind of living on the outskirts of town.
They were ostracized from their, basically the rest of the society, and they...
And I forget, were they just trying to like survive like the winter or something? Like I seem to remember
just
they
trying
were
trying to survive, and
they had a tough going. And then there was questions about whether the daughter might be have gotten involved in witchcraft or whatever.
And it was told in kind of a weird style.
It actually used like real first of all, it was used real old English, which was a little bit difficult. And it was taken from like the witchery stuff in it was taken from court transcripts and books from the time. I didn't like the ending, which is, I think, the part that a lot of people love about it, in a way. But it left me cold. But the journey I mostly liked.
I only like the ending.
Weird.
I liked the whole thing.
We get the spectrum.
Yep.
The Lighthouse is...
First of all, Dave's going to have to see it, because it's about a lighthouse.
It's a lighthouse. I love the lighthouses. And it looks, if nothing else, beautifully shot. It's an art house kind of suspense horror movie.
Yeah.
It's in black and white.
It's like a two-person. It's like Willem Dafoe, Robert Pattinson,
both of them wearing like having with that like 18th or 19th century scruffy beards and sideburns and stuff that almost unrecognizable as either of them, to be honest.
The Morton's fisherman look.
That are stationed at a lighthouse, and the movie seems to play around with like paranoia and suspense, and there's scenes of one of looking through like a hole in a door, and like sort of brief glimpses of what looks like maddening imagery, which almost makes it look Lovecraftian, as if
there's even little squid things.
Yeah, there was like some brief glimpses of that. I can't quite tell what it's about, other than it has it reminded me of the most, if you've seen the movie Pi, P-I, Pi. Who's that director?
Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah, was it like Aronofsky's like first kind of breakout movie when he was indie enough that it was also in black and white?
Right.
And it's a very paranoid sort of thriller. And that's the same vibe overall I got from this. I think because I liked enough about The Witch that I'm for sure going to check it out, and thematically I like it, and that both actors look like they're doing a good job.
I don't know if I'll go see it in theaters. I know you with
I almost
your
certainly
pass,
will.
We'll yeah. get to go see
my
it.
My Alamo season pass that I've got that unfortunately a lot of other people haven't gotten yet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I guess they just like certain special people got it.
Those I might have to wait. To see it because I don't know if I can convince my wife to see it.
I'll be off seeing Dora the Explorer just to see it. Why not?
Dora the Explorer is getting a ton of good reviews.
I heard that. It's conceivable. But anyway, Lighthouse looks pretty cool. And honestly, I'll be seeing it whether I had the pass or not. Unless it like people say like in reviews that it's like utterly incomprehensible or you know like it could have a certain too artsier than thou vibe. That could potentially put me off, but I'm almost certainly there.
Finally, the last review, or the last trailer I want to talk about, is the trailer for Cats.
Oh, yeah.
There was a little bit of internet hate for this. By that, I mean a lot of internet hate.
The most universal internet hate I've ever seen.
Except it was, like, instantaneous.
Right after the Sonic trailer, it's got the most hate on the internet.
Yeah. And I think because Sonic is not known by everyone, that got less hate because... But Cats is kind of a somewhat known phenomenon, even if you don't really have never seen it or anything.
It also,
you've heard of it, probably.
It also has a bit of hateration from the Broadway community. I believe it was thought of as, like, it was running forever. It is thought of as kind of...
It was always thought of as just spectacle.
Yeah.
Kind of cheap spectacle, because there's not a strong story to tie to it. It's based on poems by T.S. Eliot that were kind of his more whimsical poems and not his serious shit like The Wasteland.
Yep.
I think it was written in the, like, what, 30s or 40s, maybe?
Yeah.
But before we even get to the movie, so I saw the... Has anybody ever seen it beside me?
I did.
Okay, when did you see it, Nick?
I saw it when I was, like, probably 10 or 11.
Was it in locally?
Yeah, it was at the... Either Paramount or...
Bass one, Concert Hall, perhaps?
Possibly that.
This is one of those weird things. I might have seen you there, Nick, and not known it was you.
My mom got us tickets to, like... It was on, like, the third or fourth
I row. Also caught this movie with my mom when I was, like, in my teens. So this is quite possibly seen at the same place at the same time. Anyway, I quite enjoyed it.
I did, too.
Does not everything has to be Waiting for Godot or whatever your deep play of choice is.
No.
Now let's jump ahead to the CG movie. I know, that seems to be, I think some people, like, had the costumes of the theatrical production, I think still would have gotten a lot of pushback because, I want to say, like, furries remain one of the kind of few sort of kinky groups sometimes that are safe to make fun of.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't literally mean that they're safe to make fun of. I mean, people still do, but it's really not cool.
Yeah.
And so I think it would have still happened there if it was just, you know, masks and makeup and stuff.
Yeah.
But that said, I know there's pushback from theater crowds too because, I'm not quite sure why. I think the CG was like already spectacle to them, and now it's like spectacle that uses movie technology, which is despicable.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nick, you and I both liked the trailer, right?
I did. I mean, I'm gonna see this. The cast is amazing.
Yeah. So just quick hit the cast: Judi Dench, Idris Elba. Taylor Swift is playing one of the sort of the lead
Rebel
characters.
Wilson.
Who's the notable? It's not Beyonce, is it? There's someone.
It's Taylor Swift, isn't it?
I thought it was someone really like bigger too, but I could be wrong.
Oh, is it?
Man, there's not a lot of people bigger than Taylor Swift, to be honest, in those circles. James Corden, is that the guy's name?
Yeah,
it's sort of the MC cat, MC Scat Cat. Jinx, you owe me two coats.
I'd be 100% more interested if MC Scat Cat was the MC of this whole thing.
I would just like to mention, there is, speaking of old videos, there's an old Gloria Estefan video from her, when she looked like she was like 20, maybe.
Yeah.
Jennifer Hudson,
that's
right.
The video, Before the Rhythm Got Her.
Before the Rhythm Got Her, but right around that same era.
Yeah.
It's a very super poppy song called Bad Boys,
uh-huh.
where she sings about liking bad boys. And they, like, I believe it was actually done, like, with the cast of Cats.
No.
So the whole video is her, like, walking around alleyways with steam and stuff like that as cats kind of pop out and dance around with her. I don't know if I necessarily recommend it, per se.
Yeah, this is a weird time.
But if you're bothered by the CG in this, and you need more cast imagery, this is the place to go.
I recommend watching the Paul Abdul video, Opposites Attract, with MC Scat Cat,
yeah.
And possibly some Garfield.
Oh, God. Bill Murray Garfield.
Yeah, the Bill Murray Garfield yeah. movies.
Now,
also, Ian McKellen is in it.
Ian McKellen, yeah, yeah. So... I actually, this was one of those where I watched it, and you and I watched it before, I think, before everybody else had.
Yep.
Before the backlash was happening, and I was like, ah, that looks good. To me, it looked like what I would expect of a big-budget version of a Broadway spectacle show, which is to say, just like Les Mis' big-budget version, which they, same director, by mm-hmm. the way, and I think Lin-Manuel Miranda, or somebody, no, some other producer from Hamilton is involved, I forget.
I forget.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. It looked like a big budget version. I wasn't particularly weirded out by any of it because it looks similar enough to the cats I saw, which is, there is like this like vaguely kind of like, you can't quite get around. There's a slightly fetishy thing going on
weird.
In there. But it's because like cats are kind of like, they're sexier than dogs.
Yeah.
If you had to say which one is the sexiest of the two, it's just going to be cats. I'm sorry. There's Catwoman, there's Black Cat. It's just how it is.
It's just not a discussion I was expecting to have today.
Would you say, and Wildcat from the JSA?
Sexy.
Sexy boxer man.
Sexy old man.
But anyway, I also wonder if by doing the big melodramatic song Memories in the trailer, if it was just too much, like a lot of people just don't like musicals or like they're kind of weirded out.
That's true. And people who don't like musicals would really dislike this musical.
Right.
It's a very musical.
Right, because a lot of people don't like musicals, that part of their problem is sort of the logic of it. Like, why do people break out singing?
But and would people be more enthusiastic for this if it was like Baz Luhrmann doing Cats?
Maybe. I would. I think most people would be less enthusiastic.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, he's still like popular enough director.
Yeah.
And I know lots of people, especially Moulin Rouge, who that kind of became a very potent cult movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know, there's a lot to say about it. If you didn't like it, it's okay. I'm not going to fight you or anything over it. And the movie might still suck.
Yeah.
I think the guy also directed, by the way, The King's Speech.
He did.
So like, he has, like, a really big pedigree behind him.
I was not immediately turned away by the trailer. I did not immediately post on my Facebook wall that there's no bigger atrocity than the Cats movie. Like, yeah. Most of my friends did.
I might have posted something that made fun of the Sonic movie and the Cats movie because it was funny to me. But ultimately, where I come down is, I don't care.
I see how you are.
I can make fun of the Sonic movie because that looked awful.
I will be curious. I will be curious to see if, A, the next trailer they do tries to find another hook sort of to draw people in.
Yep.
When it comes out, will it surprise people? The Broadway show was somewhat reviled by serious theater goers its whole decade spanning run, but at the time it was like the longest running Broadway show.
Oh, yeah.
And was like beloved. Like it was, I hate to say it, but it was like the equivalent of a popcorn movie for theater that the people loved, the critics hated. So I could see it coming out and doing surprisingly well. I could also see it tanking so hard it's gone in a week.
The live-action Lion King is, like, breaking all kinds of records.
It's too bad.
And yet I've heard it's not so great.
Yeah. It's not so great.
It's mediocre.
Oh,
anyway.
Maybe I'll see it with my Alamo season pass. It's basically free.
So that's it for us this week. We don't quite have time to go rehash our Hobbs and Shaw and The Boys and all that stuff. We had a lot to talk about with trailers and movie and TV news.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with a lot more, including actual comic talk. And until that time,
Yo, Joe!
Roguecast is a weekly podcast broadcast from Rogues Gallery Comics and Games in Round Rock, Texas. You can find us online on Facebook and at www.roguesgallerytx.com and email us comments or questions at roguesgallerytx@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.